Welcome to the Worthing Podcast with me, Patrick Woodward. Let's talk about shopping. It's a subject close to, if not all our hearts, then most of them. A lot of us, I dare say all, we like a bit of retail therapy, don't we? The High Street, of course, has suffered quite a lot in recent years. The glory days of high streets are gone. And so many empty shops, coffee shops, and indeed charity shops now grace many of our former bustling centres of purchasing power. More on the business of shopping in a bit, but for this podcast, I'm zeroing in on one particular shopping area in Worthing Town Centre, which has played a big part in the lives of many of us locals, but today is perhaps a shadow of its former self, a not particularly shining example of how good plans sometimes just don't work out. Back in 1974, a brave new building emerged from the proverbial ashes of the old Town Hall, Market Street and a large part of Ann Street. The Gilbourne Centre promised to be a new shopping experience in the style of the burgeoning shopping malls of the United States. A posh new cabaret restaurant was heralded, with well-known stars performing at this elite venue. Eager shoppers could park in the new multi-storey car park, and a new age of retail therapy was to unfold. In the decades since, it has become apparent that the promised shopping paradise was not all we were led to expect. As shops of various sorts came and went, and the upstairs Tiroler bar, where I spent many a happy lunchtime in my early days of working in the town centre, finally closed, leaving the top floor abandoned, it seemed that the Gilbourne Centre was a flop. No major chain stores, no entertainment, just a useful pedestrian cut-through from the car park into town. But is this changing? Are better times ahead for Worthing's disappointing retail experience? Maybe so. Last year, we certainly had that impression, with every shop occupied and even the top floor under new and visionary management. More on that later. Then came the shock of one of the new cafes shutting its doors and the tragic loss of Wilko's. A year or so on, the good times may just be back. There's a new restaurant, Alchemy, opened up, and national retailer B&M have just launched in the ruins of Wilko. On top of that, literally, the upper floor is home to a resourceful and unique tenant, Redeemer Church, which is doing quite a bit more than hymns and prayers. So why don't we go down and take a look around?
I'm Samantha Whittington. I'm the owner of So Silver Jewellery and Gift Shop here in the Gilbourne Centre, and I'm also chair of the Gilbourne Centre Tenants Association.
Okay, so tell me about So Silver. What do you sell?
Okay, so it started off, as the name suggests, as a silver jewellery shop 13 years ago here in the Gilbourne Centre. But over the years, I realised there was demand for giftware, greetings cards, that kind of thing, anything that makes a good present. So over the years, I have expanded the ranges, actually to the point where 2 years ago, we needed larger premises and we moved from a small unit in the Gilbourne Centre to 1.5 times larger.
So what's it like running a shop in the Gilbourne Centre as a particular location?
It's been interesting. Like I said, I've been here 13 years, so I've seen an awful lot of businesses come and go. But the great thing at the moment is that we are almost full again. We were full about a year ago. All the units were taken. But with B&M opening next week, that is going to be a real draw. So I don't think it'll be too long till all the units are taken again. There's some really interesting shops in here. We've also got the gym. You know, there's a lot going on in the Gilbourne Centre. People often overlook it, but they shouldn't. You know, the biggest comment I get is, I didn't realise all of this was in here. Yeah. So
people sometimes see it as a bit of a cut through from the car park to the main town centre, don't they?
Absolutely. But then, you know, I get people stopping and looking in my windows as they're cutting through. Yeah. And actually now they are customers because they, you know, they'll come through and go, oh, I didn't know this was here. Hmm. And then they come back.
Yeah. So you're heading up the Tenants Association. So is there a kind of a bit of a community amongst the tenants here, do you think?
Oh, definitely. We have all become firm friends. There's particular ones that where we see each other a lot. Some people we don't see very often, but whenever anybody needs anything, you know, we will all rally and jump in. At Christmas, the real Christmas tree that we have in here, I think it's 18 foot tall, a little gang of us will get together and erect it and dress it and, you know, then take it down at the end of Christmas. So, yeah, there is quite a community. We've all become friends.
My name's Paul and I run the shop of the butchers at the Gilbourne Centre.
Okay. Now, Gilbourne Meats has been there for quite a long time, hasn't it?
Since 2004, I believe, yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the range of stuff that you sell.
We specialise in family food, so nothing fancy, but stuff that's good value and good quality as well. Beef, pork, lamb, turkey, bacon, chicken, sausages, we make them ourselves.
I was just looking at the sausages, you've got quite a lot of sausages.
Yeah, nice selection, all different flavours.
And you make them yourselves?
We do, yeah.
So that will be better than what you might pick up from a supermarket?
Oh, miles better, yeah. It's proper made.
My name is John Ryan and I am one of the directors of RMS Sussex, which is the limited company that own BDR Trading.
So tell me about BDR Trading. How long have you been in the Gilbourne Centre?
We've been in the Gilbourne Centre since just before Christmas 2018, but we bought the business from a guy who'd been running it since 1970-odd, so it's been in the town for about 50 years.
So it's quite well-known business.
Yes.
Tell me something about what you do here.
Right, what we do is we sell some army surplus, mainly to cadets, air cadets, sea cadets, army cadets. We sell workwear. We sell a lot of stuff, waterproof stuff. And for airsoft as well, we've got a large, there's an airsoft club in Worthing.
Airsoft is what? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Airsoft is where they dress up as soldiers and run around in the woods and fire plastic pellets at each other.
Oh, fine. Okay, right. Very good. Okay, so what's it like running a business in the Gilbourne Centre?
It's not been bad since Wilco's shut. We've noticed a downturn, and of course, with the cost of living crisis, there's been a bit of a downturn. But we tend not to. The reason we bought the business was because it had suffered through a lot of depressions and recessions, and it seemed to be quite recession-proof, and that's proving to be the case.
That's John Ryan from BDR Trading, Paul from Gilbourne Meats, and Samantha from So Silver. Just how important is shopping? Author and columnist India Knight sees it as something of a national religion. Instead of traipsing to church, we're bowing at the altar of consumerism. When at one time nearly everyone went to church, now nearly everyone goes to the shops, even for good or ill, on Sundays. But India Knight says it's more than just about buying things. Shopping, she says, like religion before it, has become the backdrop to our emotional lives and is now woven into the very fabric of our existence. As we shop, we buy ourselves a sliver of peace. We celebrate with a dinner out. We show love to our wives, husbands, children, often by buying them things. I'm told that teenage girls bond together in friendship as they mount a joint shopping expedition to peruse the latest clothes, makeup, magazines, and, if all else fails, chocolate.
I'm Richard Ruthven, and I'm the owner of Charlene's Chocolate Factory.
Okay, so tell me about Charlene's Chocolate Factory.
So it's a family business. It's me and my partner Sophie who run it, and we make everything in the shop. So we make everything by hand. We run chocolate making workshops for kids. So we do parties, we do sort of bookable ones, we do custom orders on anything we can do as well.
So how long have you been here in the Gilbourne Centre?
2 years now.
And was the business your idea, or did you get it from somebody else?
No,
or how did it start?
We've been making chocolate for 8 years, and then the opportunity came up to open in here, so we sort of decided to open a small shop with a production area at the back.
And how's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. We're getting there. Obviously, with the centre being full now, it's really good. And we're hoping with sort of B&M being there that footfall is going to really increase. I'm hoping that everyone in here can sort of thrive a little bit.
Yeah. So the Gilbourne Centre has been, I mean, it's been up and down for quite a long time, I suppose, hasn't it?
It has been. There's always been sort of a few empty shops, but now it's pretty much filled up, and most of the people in here are independent. Obviously, aside from sort of B&M and stuff like that, most of us are independent, which is quite good. And there seems to be a little bit more of a community, so we all get involved, we all help each other, and we all do events together and stuff like that. So
you think Gilbourne Centre's got a future?
So it definitely has. If we can spread the word a little bit more and make people realise that it's not what it used to be, that would be the way forward, I think. So it's all looking a lot nicer. All the shops make such an effort with like window displays and stuff like that. It's good.
So my name is Layla, and my role is a manager.
Okay, so we're in Alchemy. It's one of the newest traders in the Guildbond Centre.
It is, yes, and it's going well so far. It's highly optimistic.
Tell me a bit about it. Tell me about what you serve and what your sort of ideas are for this place.
So we're kind of a bistro cafe, and we're doing all-day breakfast, all-day brunch, that sort of thing, cocktails, smoothies, you know, good variety, good coffee. We've got our own bean supplied by Kendrick's, but we've chosen the bean, and it's all, like, it's very specific for us, so yeah. And we're doing also charcuterie boards, which is a bit of wine and cheese and that sort of thing. So
one of the things, I've been in here a couple of times for meals, and I rather like your swings that you have at the end.
Yes.
Where people can sit not just on a seat but on like a swing seat.
Yes,
are they popular?
They are very popular. The kids love them, and yeah, it's really nice to have a little cocktail there and have a little, yeah, it's a nice sensation. Nice, so, and calm, nice and relaxing.
Yeah. So how have you found the sort of the reaction to being in the Guildbond Centre?
It's good, yeah. We've got a good footfall, so that's really nice. Got a lot of different faces every day, so that's really good.
That's Layla from Alchemy, and prior to that, Richard from The Chocolate Shop. As Samantha from So Silver mentioned earlier on, Mel Peters helps with the marketing of the centre and promoting various events to help keep the public coming in. We had a chat. Mel, how long have you been involved in looking after things at the Guildbond Centre?
I've been involved for 2 years now. So I was approached by Sam, who runs So Silver, to come in and have a chat with him to see if I could help with promotions, marketing and PR and some events.
Now, the Guildbond Centre's a very well-known shopping centre, but kind of its reputation has taken a bit of a hit over the years, hasn't it, really?
It has. It is very dated. It's very dated in there, and I think that's difficult sometimes for people to overlook that. But there's 20 amazing shops, and they're all great people, and they're all running a business. And we've had some really fun events in there. And I would like to think that over the last couple of years, with my help, we have helped to raise the profile.
I want to talk to you about these events, because as you say, there have been a variety of different sorts of events down there. I spoke to you at the Mental Health last year. Tell me a bit more about the different kinds of events that you've had.
We did a dementia day, so we had a bus pull in with people with dementia came for afternoon tea, and we decorated the Guildbond Centre and made it look beautiful, and they came and had afternoon tea. We've had a summer fun day where we had the Reptilers. Not everyone's cup of tea. There was a 24-foot snake in the Guildbond Centre. We've had a boxing event, and I can't take credit for this because Brent Lodge run this every year, which is our charity shop. They do a grotto, but we've taken the grotto to the next level, and we've done more with the Santa's grotto every year as well. And then we've had the Great Little Farmers Market have joined us, and they do monthly craft and food markets in there.
Now, the big disappointment recently was that Wilko left.
Yes.
A very popular shop, but it's being replaced by B&M. So do you think it's a bit of a new start for the Guildbond Centre?
Definitely. Whenever you put anything on social media, you always worry about what people are going to say, especially when people talk about the Guildbond Centre being so dated. And I've never known Worthing to be so excited about a shop coming. So they've created 75 jobs. Some of the old Wilko staff are back in there, including the manager. It opens on the 21st of February. And I just think all the tenants and everybody else is just really looking forward to having some life back into that unit again.
That's Mel Peters. She mentioned letting community groups and charities have some space to talk about what they do. And when I was down there, it just so happened that the local charity Care for Veterans was setting up its stall. I spoke to their volunteer coordinator, Jamie.
I think the Guildbond Centre is the heart of the community. It's been here for quite a long time. There are shops all around, and people pass through. So you've got the car park there and then go straight into the town centre. Having a charity stand or awareness stall is good for us, because then we get the passing trade. And then also, one is to tell people about how amazing our charity is. Today we're talking about volunteering, because I'm the volunteer coordinator at Care for Veterans, and we've got loads and loads of opportunities. So hopefully people will walk past, they'll see the stall, they'll come and chat to us, and I can tell them about all the lovely opportunities at Care for Veterans.
Just tell me a little bit about Care for Veterans. What is it?
So Care for Veterans, it's a care home originally established in 1919 in Roehampton. It came over to Worthing in 1933. It was for the veterans that came back from the war, who came back with disabilities. It is about a 63-bed ward at the moment. We've got like individual rooms. It used to be wards, and then they converted it into rooms. We take veterans on from all ages. Our youngest person is 18 and our oldest person is 101.
That's Jamie from Care for Veterans. The big story on the day I arrived was the grand opening of B&M, which has opened in the space formerly occupied by Wilko. The grand opening had just taken place, with Worthing's own Love Island star Amy Hart doing the honours. I battled through the many shoppers who'd come for a first look at the well-stocked shelves, and I spoke to the manager, Marshall.
So basically, like, you know, I used to run this store when it was Wilko. So, coming back after October, like, when we closed down, it's an amazing feeling, like, you know. We got around 10 to 12, like, you know, Wilko staff as well, like, you know, who have started with B&M. And you can see, like, you know, how busy it is. The customers are loving it. And they are happy to see, like, you know, us around again, the same Wilko staff, like, as well. So, no, it's been really good experience.
Because people were really upset when Wilko closed, weren't they?
It was. I mean, you know, all the colleagues were, like, sad as well, like, with that. But it had to happen. It happened. The good thing, like, you know, is that, you know, I was appointed as a manager for B&M, and then, you know, I managed to get hold of, like, you know, some of the ex-Wilko staff, and, like, you know, they managed to, like, you know, come in. The customers, the shopping center, like, you know, they all kind of, like, you know, loving to see us back, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then we're just hoping, like, that, you know, all the new colleagues who have joined B&M, like, they will do well as well, like, you know.
Yeah. It's gonna How does this day feel with all these customers in here at last?
It's, I was just thinking a minute ago, like, it's raining outside, otherwise it's going to be a market day, like, it's going to be busy, like, you know. But I can see, like, you know, it has started picking up, so we got a lot of customers coming in now. So, hopefully, like, you know, we'll have a good day today, like, you know, and then, you know, hopefully the customers, like, you know, will return again for shopping.
That's Marshall, the manager at the new B&M store in the Gilbourne Centre, and we wish them all the best. Earlier, I quoted writer India Knight on how shopping has become something of a religion, and indeed seems to share some of its benefits. So it's apt, or ironic, that a church has fetched up on the top floor of Worthing's Gilbourne Centre. I spoke to the leader, Joel Tostevin.
As a redeemer, like this, God is our ultimate redeemer, the one who fixes broken things and makes straight what has been broken. Right. We kind of want to see that in the Gilbourne Centre as we come and bring the presence of God here. Our prayer is that the flats above will be blessed by us being here, that the businesses below will be blessed by us being here, and that we'll see, and that, yeah, redemption,
yeah,
will come, and then that will kind of flow out from here,
yeah,
and into the town.
But of course, you're not just doing a church here, are you? Mm-hmm. Redeemer, this place is a bit more than a church, because you've, mm-hmm, got rooms as well. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about rooms?
Yeah, so the whole place is Redeemer. So again, it's been a journey of us trying to communicate this to various different people, like the church and then a bit wider. So when people come up and they say, oh, we'd like to see the church, I was like, oh, well, actually this whole place, well, obviously first and foremost, the church isn't a building, it's a people, but the whole place is owned by the church and being used by the church, including rooms. So we run various different things. We run Worthing Food Bank here. We're doing English classes for people with low levels of English. We've got various other church things happening here. We've run some Alpha courses up here, and we have different groups happening in the week. But one of the things we wanted to do to make the most of the space that we felt was the right thing to do is run a business up here called Rooms. And so we hire the space out in the week for charities and businesses to use, for co-workers come up and use the space. And we've had conferences that happen over in our auditorium that on a Sunday we use for our main meetings. And the purpose of that is not primarily to make money to help us pay for the rent and the lease, right, and all those things. But it's because we wanted to run a godly business that people would feel welcomed and blessed as they came in. That would also bring people into our space. It would kind of break down that barrier. Some people find it difficult to walk into a church building on a Sunday morning. So our prayer is that as people come and engage with us in different ways in the week, whether it's food bank, whether it's hiring rooms, they'll kind of get the feeling, actually, this is a nice place to be. This is the place we want to be. And so coming to a church, a more overtly church thing, will feel like less of an intimidating step for, yeah, people.
That's Joel Tostebin, the leader of Redeemer Church. Rooms seems a novel concept in a church. I took a look round in the company of Rachel, who's the business director at Rooms.
Rooms is a business. It's run by Redeemer Church, or owned by Redeemer Church, and I run the business for them. The business is co-working space, multi-use rooms, and we also have an event space that's available. So the multi-use rooms and the event space are available to hire by the hour, co-working by the day or by the half day.
Okay, can you show me around? Can we walk round and see what we can see?
Yeah, I'd love to show you around.
So we're coming away now from the bit where we could hear all the noise taking place down in the Gilborn Centre.
Yeah, so that's out in the atrium, and now we're in the multi-use rooms. So we've got four multi-use spaces, and they vary in size. The spaces are rooms that we set up for you, so if you want it a theatre style or a cabaret style, we can set them up. They're really well equipped in terms of, like, if you want to run training or something, they're an excellent space for that. You know, you've got seating and large TVs. We can provide refreshments and lunches if needed.
So this has all been built by, or put in place by yourselves when Redeemer took over the top floor?
Yeah, that's right. So Redeemer signed a lease about almost 3 years ago now for the space, and they refurbished it. So the space wasn't in use for about 27 years. So you can imagine it was in quite a poor state of disrepair, shall we say. Mm. And we spent some time working on what the design would look like. So I worked with a couple of different people on that. We looked at how to make the space usable, how we can get the most out of it, and also so that it wasn't just used on a Sunday, it was usable all week.
Can we look in one of them, or are they all being occupied?
No, we can look in.
Okay, we're going into Emerald, okay.
So this is the smallest room. This one starts at £18 an hour.
And you get about, 10, 15, 20 people in here?
About 20 people in a theatre style, yeah. If you want it cabaret style, we can put three tables, which generally gives you about 18 people.
All right, let's continue our tour.
So we've also got teal room is the next biggest, and then ochre room and indigo room. Indigo room is our biggest room. It's in use today, so we can't go in there. It's a nice space if you want to do like a day of training, for example. So now if we go around the atrium, we will come to our auditorium. So our auditorium is our biggest space. We would call that our event space. And it can seat up to 250 people. We'd have conferences here, training for companies, comedy nights, first aid training, you know, you name it. There's lots of things that have happened here. We've had people giving blood here, a real variety of different things.
On a Sunday, this becomes the church, is that right?
On a Sunday, this becomes the church, yeah.
Right, okay.
Exactly, yeah. So on a Sunday, this is the church, and throughout the week, it's used for, you know, any number of different things.
Okay.
Adjoined to this space, we have the breakout space.
Okay.
And the breakout space is adjoined by movable walls, so those can open up. And if you're having a conference for 250 people and you want a coffee break, we open the walls and coffee is served in the breakout space.
Right. Superb.
So this is used during the week for a Pokemon club for kids, two nights a week or two afternoons a week. It's often used for parties. It's just got a different feel, this space, and also it comes with the use of the kitchen.
So you've got a couple of settees there for soft furnishings and some three or four tables, small tables,
exactly, people sit around,
and a kind of a bar area at the back where you serve.
There's a bar area where you can serve refreshments from, and this is also the space that Food Bank would use. So Food Bank meet here four times a week, and they use this space to serve their clients. So if we come through here, we come into the mosaic room.
Okay.
And so the first thing you notice is that there's a very large mosaic on the wall.
That is incredible.
So that's an original mosaic and was done when the building was made. As you can see now, windows, very large windows, have been added. So some of the mosaic has been lost, but you can still see that it's an artist's impression of what Worthing Seafront would have been like and what Worthing was like.
Yeah.
So there's some beach huts, some boats, some sort of typical Worthing-style buildings.
So you've deliberately preserved something of the original space to kind of hark back to what the Gilborn Centre used to be.
Absolutely. We've definitely preserved this. You know, it felt like it would be a real travesty to get rid of it. And actually, it was an incredibly good state of repair compared to the rest of the building, shall we say.
So this room, then, I can see there's people in here sitting at desks. These are the co-working.
This is used as co-working throughout the week. So lots of these people are
you know, they're self-employed, or they work for companies who don't have office spaces, or perhaps they work from home a few days a week and so they come here on one of those days instead. You know, just the act of leaving your house can be helpful for people, especially if you're working from home 5 days a week, for example. Okay. So yeah, these people are all co-workers and they'll be doing, you know, a variety of different things.
That's Rachel, the business director at Rooms, giving me a tour of the facilities on the top floor of the Gilbourne Centre. It's a busy place, and while I was there, two people arrived to take up co-working spaces, and one couple, having come for the opening of B&M, just popped into Rooms to find out what it was. While looking around, I took the opportunity to chat to two of the people who'd arrived for co-working that morning. First, Diane told me what she did.
I'm just the administrator for Arrow Mortgage Solutions.
So what's the benefit to you of coming to Rooms?
I like coming here because it gets me out of the house, and it's a really nice space to work. It's sort of open, comfortable. It's nice to be around other people as well, just to feel like you're also socializing and not being isolated if you are working from home.
So otherwise you'd be working from home with all the distractions that are around home.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Andy Roberts, you've come to this place as well to take advantage of the co-working space. Why do you come to the Gilbourne Centre?
Well, I found out about it through mutual friends, and everyone said it was a great space. I'm actually a part-time funeral celebrant, and it's a really great place just to come and get away from home, get away from all the distractions that are there, and just get your mind centred on what you need to write.
It's very quiet. It's almost like, a bit like working in a library.
Yeah, it is. It's got that feel about it, actually. But unlike a library, you get free tea and coffee all the time. So you can step away. It's just a great space to work in and to focus on what you need to do.
Andy Roberts and Diane, two of the people using Rooms to get some peace and quiet to work in. I've known the Gilbourne Centre since my teenage years. I was 18 when it opened. It's had its ups and downs. Till recently, it was the home of Splash FM, Worthing's local radio station, which has now been taken over and moved studios to Burgess Hill. The Gilbourne Centre remains a landmark in the town, facing the public space of South Street Square, where you'll often find performers, buskers, exhibitions and so on. But many would say it's lost its early appeal. But in wandering around and chatting to the current traders, it seems to me that its future is looking brighter now than for some time. I look forward to all that it will become. And that's it from the Worthing podcast for now. Coming soon, our next podcast is going to take a special look at The Gang Show, Gee, It's a Wonderful Life. That's coming before the end of March. Till then, from me, Patrick Woodward, goodbye.
News and views of Worthing.
The Worthing podcast.
With Patrick Woodward.